Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. And tonight I want to talk to you about three different types of calls that God responds to. God is in the 911 business. He answers emergency calls. And tonight we're going to look at three calls that God responds to. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. Call to me, and I will answer you. Awesome promise. And show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Now, God gives this invitation to the prophet in the Old Testament. His name was Jeremiah. In the midst of very difficult circumstances, both for him as a prophet and also for the nation of Israel. The people of Israel had forsaken God to worship the pagan gods of their master at the time, the kings of Assyria. And because they didn't repent, Jeremiah prophesied the judgment and the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is now, as we read Jeremiah chapter 33, is now under Babylonian captivity as Jeremiah predicted. Jerusalem is going through a very desperate situation, hunger and pestilence and misery, calamity and destruction. And Jeremiah himself is also going through difficult circumstances. If Jeremiah will be the pastor of a church nowadays, that church most likely would be empty. Because his message was not a popular message. It was a message of judgment and repentance. And Jeremiah is going through difficult circumstances because he has been preaching against the idolatry of God's people. And he is not liked. He is not famous. He is not popular. And he is being persecuted even by his own people. And in the midst of this chaos, God shows up. And he tells Jeremiah to call on him. And he will answer him. Church, God wants us to ask for his help. And he is ready to answer our plea for help. Because when we call to him, we recognize that he is God and that we cannot change our circumstances in our own strength and ability. Can I hear to tell you tonight that you do not have control of your life? And that you do not have control of the things that happen to you, whether it's good or bad. Life can change in a matter of seconds, and we have absolutely no control of that. Look to Jesus in the midst of your difficult circumstances. Let me say that again. Look to Jesus in the midst of your difficult circumstances. Whether it's health, marriage, problems, financial problems, whatever you need is, I'm here to exalt you tonight to call to Jesus, believing the promise that he will answer you. Today I want us to explore three different type of calls that God responds to. Number one is the call of pain. The call of pain. The more we suffer, church, the more we are comforted by God. And this call includes physical pain due to sickness and emotional pain due to an emotional wound. I remember back in August, I had a surgical procedure, a gallbladder. My gallbladder was taken out, was removed. And I really didn't know much about the surgery. But I remember the doctor, when he came to talk to me that day at the emergency room, and he told me that I had to have surgery, he says, "Don't worry about it, it's a simple surgery. It's simple. All I do is I do four holes, and through one of the holes, I take the gallbladder out. And within a matter of a week, you're going to be fine." Liar. So I went into the emergency room thinking that it was something like pulling out a tooth. You know? They're going to do four little holes. They're going to take it out. And then within a week, I'm going to be back to work. Let me tell you. That night, when I was in the hospital bed, I had one of the most excruciating pains that I have ever experienced in my life. And me personally cannot tolerate painkillers. I'm very sensitive to painkillers, and they make me very, very sick to the point that I throw up and I get dizziness, and they really make me very sick. And they were offering me morphine and painkillers, and I kept denying them. But the pain got worse and worse and worse and worse. And laying down in that hospital bed in that room, I began to call on Jesus. And I began to say, Lord, I'm calling you right now. I need your help. I cannot endure this pain any longer. I had no idea that this surgery was going to be as painful. But Lord, I pray right now that you would touch these wounds with your healing virtue and that you would remove this pain. And I don't know if they removed the pain or not, but he did this to me. I passed out, fell asleep, woke up the next morning. Because when you call on Jesus, he will answer you, church. And he answers the call of pain, whether it's physical or emotional pain. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love this about God. The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Amen. Who comforts you in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. If you are feeling sad, if you are downcast, allow Jesus to comfort you. Because each problem that you face will become an opportunity for you to minister to others that are going through the similar problem. Your pain is an opportunity for Jesus to demonstrate his great love to you individually. Oh, a lot of people know that God is love and that God loves the world. But do you know that he loves you individually? That you're not a number in the kingdom of God, but that he knows you. He knows your pain. He knows even know how many hairs you have in your head. I have tried to count my hairs in my head. It's impossible. But the Bible says that he knows me, that he knows you so well, that he even knows to the T how many hairs you have in your head. Because God does not only love the world, but he loves you personally. In John chapter 11, we find the story of the death of Lazarus, a friend of Jesus. And Lazarus, the Bible says, was sick, and his sisters Mary and Martha asked Jesus to come and help. And Jesus didn't go right away, and Lazarus died. But his delay had a purpose, and it was to glorify the name of God. And in John chapter 11, verse 5, it says that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. In other words, Jesus had demonstrated his great love for the family. But up to this point, listen to this, Jesus had not demonstrated yet his love for each one individually. Jesus does not only love the church, but Jesus loves you individually. Do you know the love of Jesus that way? So when he returns to where Lazarus and his sisters were, he talks. And he manifests to each one individually. To Martha, for instance, if you turn to John chapter 11, verse 21. He says, Martha said to Jesus. Martha knew that Jesus loved the family. But Martha did not know yet that Jesus loved her individually for who she was. So he said that Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. And Jesus said to her, you don't got to wait for that. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? See, there is reproach in the heart of Martha. And Jesus loved her even in her own reproach. Jesus told her exactly what she needed to hear individually. And then if you go to Mary, in verse 32. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you have been here, my brother will not have died." And therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the youth who came with her weeping, he ground on his spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." There is pain in the heart of Mary. There is suffering. There is sorrow in the heart of Mary. And he's not giving to Mary the same answer that he gave to Martha. He's not dealing or treating Mary in the same way that he dealt with Martha. But he comforts her pain. He told her what she needed to hear. And then when she goes to Lazarus, Lazarus is laying down dead for 4 days. His physical body is already putrefied and stinky. And he looks at Lazarus and says, "I love you. I love your family. But do you ever knew that I also love you individually for who you are? Lazarus, get up and come forth." Each member of the family is mentioned separately. And he had an individual conversation with each member. Each one had a need and was feeling pain in their unique way. And each one received love from Jesus in a very personal and unique way and comfort from Jesus individually. Jesus wants to demonstrate his great love. Not only to this world, not only to the church of Jesus Christ, but he also wants to demonstrate his great love to you individually. And the way that he might demonstrate my love, his love to me, might be different than yours. See, so many Christians want to put Jesus in a box. So many Christians want to put Jesus in a cookie sheet and pretend that Jesus treats everybody the same. And they said, if he said this one to this one, then he must be saying the same thing to me. If he did this for that one, then he might do the same thing for me. No, Jesus is a Jesus that wants to love you, that wants to relate to you, and wants to manifest to you in a very unique and individual way. In your pain and in your need, call to Jesus. People might not always understand you. People might not always take time to listen to you and to help you. But Jesus will. He will answer the call of your pain. He will tell you what you need to hear in order to receive comfort and strength. And he will do what he needs to do in order to comfort your pain. Call to Jesus in your pain. And he will answer you. The second type of call that God responds to is the call of desperation. Call of desperation. Jesus answers the call of those who are weak and desperate. In Psalm 50 verse 15 he says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble." Are you calling on Jesus on the day of trouble? Or are you calling a man? Are you calling a woman? Are you calling a system? Are you calling the government? He says, in the day of trouble, do not call anybody because nobody's going to be able to help you. Call upon me. I will deliver you, he says. And you shall glorify me. Folks, we all have a day of trouble. We all have a time in our lives when we go through problems that seem to have no solution. A time when doctors tell you there is nothing that they can do for you. But in Christ, there is always hope. And he answers the cries of those that are in desperate situations. In Luke chapter 7, verse 11, Jesus went to a city called Nain. And he came across a funeral procession. Every time that Jesus encountered a funeral, something amazing happened in funerals. So he comes across a funeral procession of a man who was the only son, and his mother, the Bible says, was a widow. And she was in a desperate situation. Back in those days, women didn't have any rights. Wouldn't women have any job opportunities like now? That's why a woman that does not follow Jesus is the foolish of a woman. You want equal rights? You will never find them in the world. And you will never find them in government. But in the kingdom of God, we are all one in Christ Jesus. So she comes, and she is in a desperate situation. Back in those days, women didn't have any job opportunities. They didn't have any means of supporting themselves. And they depended on their husband. And it says there that she was a widow, so her husband was dead. So now she depended on that one son to support her. And that one son is now dead. And with both being dead, this woman is in a very serious and desperate situation. Destitute to a life of poverty and misery. She was going to be homeless, and that is for sure. But this woman represents the type of people that Jesus came to help. And it's those that are in desperate situations. And in Luke chapter 11, chapter 7, verse 13, it says that when the Lord saw her. You see, every time that the Bible says the Lord saw her, it doesn't mean that he only saw her in the physical. When the Lord sees you, he's not only looks you or sees what you look like on the outside. But when the Lord sees you, his look is very, very deep. The eyes of the Lord penetrate you to the deepest areas of your being. The eyes of the Lord can see the pain that nobody else can see. The eyes of the Lord can see the condition of your heart and the condition of your soul, and can even see things that you have not even spoken to anyone. So the Lord saw her, and he says that he had compassion on her, and he said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still, and he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." So he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. Jesus answers the call of desperation of that woman, and he returned her son to her that day. Jesus has the power to give you hope in the midst of whatever tragedy you are going through. Have your dream died? Has your marriage died? Has something died? Has your health died? Call to him, and he will return whatever you have lost back to you. Hallelujah. Desperation touches the heart of God. All of us experience desperation in life. The loss of a loved one. Incurable diseases. Betrayal. But what we do during those times of desperation is what makes the difference in our lives. Do we look within, without, or do we look up? Because the primary step in moving beyond desperation is to draw near to God and to call on him. In James chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." As believers, we are not exempt from finding ourselves in desperate situations. However, in such times, we need to remember that we serve a mighty God. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Jesus answers the call of desperation. My mother last week had kidney surgery. My mother last year had reached a place of desperation in her life with her health, to the point that I have been really crying out to God for her, because she was even telling me that she was asking God to take her because of the pain and the discomfort that she was feeling. She suffers from kidney stones, and she had one of her kidneys full of stones, to the point that last week, I couldn't believe when the doctors came out after the surgery to talk to me and my brother and my sister, and they told us that she had 500 stones. Yes? I said the same thing. What? 500 stones in her left kidney, the size of diamonds. And I said, doctors, were they diamonds? Because if they were diamonds, I want them. But she had reached a place of desperation because every month she was having major infections in her kidney and in her bladder. And every time that one of those kidneys were moved, her pain was excruciating. And doctor said, there's nothing we can do for you. We don't have a procedure to help you, especially at your age. But I began to call out to God out of desperation. And I said, I need you to move in this situation. I need you to do something. I am desperate. And about a few weeks ago, the healer, because he's the ultimate healer, he put in our path a doctor from the University of Miami, which I believe he's the only one, at least in South Florida, that does this kind of operation. And last Tuesday, he went into her right kidney, and he cleaned her out completely from all the stones. What am I saying? If you are desperate, if you don't see a way out of your situation, do not give up. Do not go to anyone else, but begin to call on the God of Israel. Begin to call on Jesus Christ, because he will answer the cry and the call of desperation. The third type of call is the call for help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. We all believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I love Jesus. But can I be honest and frank with you? Sometimes things happen to us that it's hard to believe that Jesus can help us, even though we believe in Jesus. Does that make sense? And at those times, We need to call to God and say, God, help my unbelief. I know that you are a healer, but I'm having a hard time believing that you can heal this cancer. Help my unbelief. I know that you can fix my marriage, but I'm having a hard time believing that you can fix this marriage. Help my unbelief. The call of unbelief. Help my unbelief. Now look at the power of his exhortation. He says, I will show you. You call to me, and I will show you. Now, what is it that God will show us? Because in the midst of desperate and impossible circumstances, how should he persuade us to believe that nothing is beyond his ability? And he mentions there three categories of things. He talks about great things. I'm going to show you great things. Number two, I'm going to show you mighty things. And then to top it all off, he says, I'm going to show you things that you do not even know. And these categories have the power to persuade us that nothing is beyond the ability of God. Number one is great things. Great things means that nothing is impossible for God if you can only believe. Can you believe that? See, when Pharaoh drew near the children of Israel, Moses and the children of God experienced his great deliverance. David experienced great victories in his life. He wrote many of the Psalms to showcase God's great demonstration of power. And after the exile, God moved in the life of his people. And the temple was rebuilt. The walls were rebuilt. And the people of God were restored. And he assured Jeremiah during that time, I will show you great things. Church, we must pray. Because God has the power to deliver the great things that he has promised us. Nothing is beyond the ability of God. Let me say that again because I didn't hear not even one amen. Nothing is beyond the ability of your God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Praise you, Jesus. Paul called on God three times for the thorn to depart. And God answered him and said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. You see, Paul boasted not in his virtues, not in his talents or abilities, but he boasted in his weaknesses because of the power of Jesus resting upon him and showing him great things. There are great things for the sick. There are great things for the oppressed. There are great things for the needy. And there are great things for those that are persecuted. God is great and strong. We are nothing, but He is everything. We are weak, but He is strong. We must pray because God has the power to deliver the great things that He has promised. Nothing is beyond the ability of your God and my God. Can we give Him the praise tonight? Hallelujah. The second category, which has the power to persuade us, is mighty things. If I love the great things, I even love more the mighty things. Mighty things. Nothing is beyond God's provision. There is no need that God cannot provide. Mighty in the Hebrew is amazing. Because mighty means hidden or fen things. Things that are not acceptable to us, but very acceptable to God. Nothing is beyond the access of God. One commentator even wrote that the Hebrew here for mighty describes something made inaccessible by fortifying or enclosing it, such as a city. So Jeremiah at the time could not understand, could not comprehend how God will restore a nation that was in ruins. So God asked the prophet to call to him for understanding. Church, prayer assures what God is promising. Yes. Mighty things, everything that is inaccessible to you becomes accessible to God when we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. He takes pleasure in doing mighty things for His people. Jesus said this about the difficult things of life. With men, it is impossible. Man does not have the cure for cancer. Man does not have the cure for certain diseases. For man is impossible. Man does not know how to fix your marriage. Man does not know how to fix your family. Man does not know how to fix your finances. But what is impossible for man is possible for God. With God, all things are possible. Nothing is beyond the access of God. We must pray, people of God. We must call on God because He has the power to deliver the mighty things that He has promised. Your health might be inaccessible to you, but it's accessible to God. Your finances might be inaccessible to you, but it's accessible to God. The breakthrough out of your problem, it might be inaccessible to you, but it's accessible to God only if we can call on Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mighty things. And the last one is things that you do not know. He will show us things that we do not know. Nothing, absolutely nothing, is beyond the riches of God. This category speaks to us about God's revelation. The more we call upon God, the more He reveals Himself to us. Let me repeat that again. Are you hungry for God? Do you desire to know God? Call on Him and He will reveal to you things about Himself that nobody else can reveal. A Bible school cannot reveal to you all the things about God. Even a pastor, even a preacher of the gospel cannot reveal to you all the things about God. But when you call and you say, Jesus! He will show up. He will show up. And he will show you something about him that you have never known. Isaiah 48 verse 6 says it this way. You have heard, see all this, and will you not declare it? I have made you hear new things from this time. You know, since I became saved, God has said things to me that I have never ever heard before. Sometimes he says things to me that I go like, wow, where did that come from? He says, you would hear new things from this time, even hidden things, and you did not know them. There's a principle that in the Bible, and it's this. A Christian that is prayerless is a Christian that does not know God. Let's repeat that again. A Christian that is prayerless is a Christian that does not know God. But wait a minute, Pastor Ana, I'm in church 7 days a week. And I'm hearing to Pastor Maria sermons, Pastor Ana, Pastor Jose, blah, 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 CDs, tape, Facebook, internet, you name it. Remember earlier what I told you, that God wants to reveal to us individually. He wants to express his love and his grace to us individually. This is how it goes. God wants to say something to you individually that I cannot say it to you. You see, what I share here every time I get up here and all the pastors get up here is what God is sharing to us individually. But it doesn't stop there. God wants to tell you stuff that unless you call on him and unless you go in the prayer closet and unless you spend time alone in the presence of the Lord, you will never ever hear. He says, even hidden things, and you did not know them. Church, we can serve God for decades. I have been serving Jesus for almost 35 years. That we never ever stop learning something new about our God. We gain knowledge every day and through eternity, it never stops. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, it says it this way. God says, but as it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those. Say, that's for me. That's for me right there. I want it. I want it. Things that God has prepared for those who what? Love him. Love him. Are you in love with Jesus? If you are in love with Jesus, hold on, because what he's about to show you is going to blow your mind. For those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Holy Spirit. Through his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the messenger of Jesus. The Holy Spirit hears and sees things from Jesus, comes down to us and shows them to us. Word by word, detail by detail. This is the riches of God. And it comes to those who call upon him. Church, in conclusion, in the midst of calamity and desperation, God exhorts the prophet Jeremiah to call to him with the promise that he will answer. Jesus confirms this promise to us in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, when he says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. In the midst of your problem, have you called upon Jesus? Have you called upon God? Turn to God and call upon him. And he will answer the call of your pain. He will answer the call of your desperation. And he would also answer the call to know him more. Amen. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Who are you calling, church? Who have you been calling? Have you called on Jesus? Because he has promised to answer you when you call. But you yourself have to call. He has promised to show you great and mighty things and things that you do not know, says the Word of God. And tonight, through the Holy Spirit, God is reminding us of that promise through the prophet Jeremiah. He was in the midst of very difficult situations. The nation of Israel was in ruin, in Babylonian captivity, and they didn't see a way out of the oppression. The prophet was persecuted. He was facing even threats of death. He didn't see a way out of his situation. But when he began to call on God, God fulfilled what he had promised. He restored his people. He restored his temple. And he restored the prophet. And I pray right now for every single person tonight that is also going through a difficult situation in their lives. Some of us might be crying out tonight the call of pain. We are suffering physical pain because of a disease, or emotional pain because we are wounded in the heart. We have been wounded and we're feeling such a pain inside. And I pray tonight that you would hear the call of pain of your people. Some of us might be calling out of a call of desperation. We are in the day of trouble. We are facing the day of trouble, like the psalmist says. But we call upon you in our desperation, receiving your promise that you will deliver us. And we shall glorify your name. And we shall testify of your goodness wherever we go. Others are calling out to you that you will help my unbelief. We believe in you. We believe in your name. We believe in the word. But can you really heal me of this disease? Can you really, really restore my finances? Can you really, really restore my marriage and restore my family? Can you really, really restore me? I know that you have restored others, but can you do that with me? Help my unbelief, Jesus. Help my unbelief. We call to you. We call to you. We don't call on no one else but on you. Because we believe that you will answer us. And that you will show us great and mighty things. Things that are not accessible to us. Our health is not accessible to us. Our finances are not accessible to us. The solution to my problem is not accessible to me, but it is accessible to you. You know how to help us. You know how to heal us. And you know how to provide for whatever needs we are facing tonight. Mighty things. Thank you for being the one that answers the call of his people. And we give you all the glory and all the honor for that. In Jesus' name. And we all say amen and amen.